Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Mo H. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Friday, March 3rd, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we'll be reading page 65, the first paragraph on our grudge list we set, and then we're going to read through the entire example of step four, ending at the bottom of the example, my wife, with the words pride, personal sex, relations, security, in parentheses, fear. Comments are on the paragraph and the example. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Karen W., the 12 traditions, Davalyn E. Readers of the text are Elaine B., Veronica C., and Jordan L. The share ID for Thursday, March 2nd, the 10 a.m. meeting, is 20,015. That's 20,015. And for Friday, March 3rd, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,017. That's 20,017. And our newcomer greeter is Reggie O, and our announcements person is Robin P. OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Karen W. to please read the 12 steps. Good morning, Karen.
Hi, good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service, as always. And I am Karen W., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York, and here are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you, Karen W. I will now ask Davalyn E. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Davalyn.
Good morning, Mo. My name is Davalyn E., and I am living gratefully and joyfully in recovery in Manitoba, Canada. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service. I pass.
And thank you, Davilyn E. from Manitoba, Canada. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 65, the first paragraph, and it begins with, on our grudge list, we set. And then through the entire example of step 4, ending on the bottom of the example with my wife and the words ending pride, personal, sex, relations, security, and fear. The comments will be on the paragraph and the example. And I will now ask Elaine B. to get us started with that paragraph. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mo H. And thank you, writers of the Big Book. Wow, these are great. On our grudge list, we set opposite each name our injuries. Was it our self-esteem, our security, our ambitions, our personal or sex relations that had been interfered with? We are usually as definite as this example. I hear somebody unmuted on the line. I'm resentful at Mr. Brown. The cause, his attention to my wife, affects my sex relations, self-esteem, fear. Told my wife about my mistress, affects my sex relations, self-esteem, and fear. Brown may get my job at the office, affects my security, self-esteem, and yes, there's fear involved. Mrs. Jones, she's a nut. She snubbed me. She committed her husband for drinking. He's my friend. She's a gossip. Affects my personal relationship, self-esteem, and fear. I'm resentful at my employer. He's unreasonable, unjust, overbearing, threatens to fire me for drinking and padding my expense account. Affects my self-esteem, security, and yes, there's fear involved. My wife misunderstands and nags, likes Brown, wants house put in her name. Affects my pride, personal, sex relations, security, and fear. Wow. So fabulous. This is amazing instructions that we really need, It's part of the design for living that really works. And around here they say it works if you work it and you're worth it, so work it. let's see. So we've got our food down, right? We got our food plan. We've utterly abandoned ourselves to God, and now we're ready to go into the deep, dark places that have driven us. And so we look at our grudge list. We write down our grudge list. What does grudge mean? I have one definition here. It's a feeling of anger, bitterness, or resentment towards someone for something they did, especially a wrong that I'm reading my definition here and it just went all weird on me. Especially a wrong that they did against you. And it refers to a feeling that we have, and especially when it's been held for a long time, often longer than is considered normal. And, we re-feel it, we retell it, we re-injure ourselves, and then we need relief. But now we have a new way that we're going to be able to look at this thing. And so we want to stop that cycle. So we're going to look at our grudge list. And this is the one column at a time. I was told one name, one institution, one principle that disturbs me. It isn't working for me. It keeps coming up, keeps popping up. I try to hold it down like a ball underwater and it keeps popping up. Okay, I got all my names down. Then I'm just going to look at the column of why, what they did. Why am I holding? What is it that they did? And that's what I refill and I retell. But I'm just going real quick. It's like a grocery list. I'm not digging into it. But then this was the key that began to set me free. I begin to see why I am so sore, because it has affected me. And I get to take a look at what are those effects. It affects my life-given needs and things that need to be in good shape for me to be okay. My sex relations, my self-esteem, my security, my ambitions, my personal relationships, and my pride. And so all of those things get impacted by these people. We're not going to dig into them yet. But we are next, one column at a time. We're going to find the key that's going to stop the cycle of refeeling, retelling, re-injuring. But first, we have to just take this inventory and determine, why are we sore? Why do we need discomfort? How can we get this from God as our ultimate aim? And it's a real house cleaning experience. We get to throw out those things that aren't working for us and examine the things that drive us away from God into the food. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Elaine. Thank you for getting us started. All those who are just coming on the line, I'll remind you where we're at. We're on page 65, the first paragraph. It starts with "on our grudge list." And we're going to read through the entire example on of step four all the way to the bottom, which ends with pride, personal, sex relations, insecurity, and fear. And so I will now, let's see, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on either Wednesday or Thursday, we ask that you skip today and wait until Monday. Who would like to share?
Robin P. in Costa Rica.
Robin P.
Jamie M. in Southern California.
Jamie M.
IVS.
IVS.
Amelia H.
Babylonia A.
Okay, I got your Babylonia. One more.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Okay, that will stop there. Okay, I have Robin P, Jamie M, IVS, Amelia H, Babylonia A, and Jordan L. So if you're not Robin P, please press star 1 to mute your phone. Good morning, Robin.
Morning, Mo. Thanks so much for your service, and I'm just so grateful I'm on this meeting. I'm Robin P, a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And thank you, Elaine. Oh, my gosh. I just look at this list and I think it's so helpful to see this because it's so insane. Told my that he's resentful of Mr. Brown because he told my wife of my mistress. Like, wow, you know, what about the fact that he has a mistress? Like, you know, I just think, wow, it's just amazing, you know. He's resentful at Mrs. Jones because she committed her husband for drinking. And he's his friend, he's a drinking buddy. Like, it's just, all of this just seems so diseased, you know, and the boss wants to fire him for drinking and padding his expense account. You know, it's like resentful at these really not good things, you know, and anyone in their sane mind would be resentful of, you know, would have a right to stand up for these things. And it's just so interesting to me. That was my disease. You know, I resented people for things that I should not be resenting them for. And sometimes there were reasons to resent people, but it's still, I can't afford it. It's a dubious luxury of someone else, not me. And I'm just so grateful that I have a solution today. And that instead of that session of the mind, like just won't shut up, you know, and just such a blessing to know that I can just do a 10th step and 11 and 12 and be free. And then just be at that neutral place again. And just at peace with God and my fellows. It's such a relief. Because it really doesn't matter. What matters is, you know, I can either be right or I can be happy. And I choose to be happy and abstinent today with God's grace and mercy. So I'm just so grateful for this meeting. I'm so grateful for the steps. They're just brilliant. And it works. So God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinent day. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin, very much for your share. Jamie M., followed by Ivy S. Good morning, Jamie. Let us know where you're from.
Good morning. Yes, of course. Jamie M. from Southern California. Good morning, compulsive overeater. I love this meeting. I discovered it in October due to the time zone change, and it's really changed my life. I believe God gives me this life. I believe in God. I believe in God. How did I get to OA? God. How did everything happen? God. Well, I lost God. I edged God out. I have a wonderful sponsor. May she be on the line, kiddingly. And she teaches me what she was taught. And I would give it to my sponsees. But I ended up picking up food due to a physical problem that took me down because I went to my disease. And I didn't binge a lot. I did something compulsively angry. And that's not what I'm supposed to do. So I was resentful. It's this, it's that. I don't like you. Back in the beginning, it's my mother's fault from a compulsive eating. My husband didn't make so much money. I'd have a better life if I was thin. All these things to whine, like a two-year-old. Well, Sunday I acted like a two-year-old. And my boyfriend looked at me, who was a kind gentleman. He said, grow up, basically. And I had to grow up. I prayed to find God again. I found him with pennies. Tuesday, I found God in a way I had never. I didn't see any more resentment. I mean, I said, oh, my God, this is a lesson. And it was probably painful, like everything else that I've come, but it takes action. We go through the pain, which I know, to get to where we need to be. I've gone through enough pain lately that my boyfriend looked at me yesterday, and we're going to take a journey. Because my health is not doing so well, and that has nothing to do with this. But God has given me about 10,000 signs. I can stay where I'm at, like with the food, the disease, or I can follow God's lead and take a chance, trust, all the principles of the program. So I said, okay, I got to trust God. You've given me the signs, and I'm able to see them. And that's a miracle. So all those resentments and all those 10 steps and everything I know, I wonder why. Why can't I just, I hate when I do things like that. Before, I thought I was entitled to do things like that. Don't hold the door. You're beneath me. Today, I want to hold the door. I want to hold the door for 20 people. I want to help someone else because I was helped. People have reached out to me. They care for me. I couldn't see them anymore because I was blocked. And I was resentful. Oh, well, they're not reaching out to me anymore. Well, you know what? What am I putting into it? Me, 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 I. That's an illness. So I surrendered to God today because I found a God in a way I've never seen. That's a miracle. And I'm always going to look. Today I'm in extra gratitude, extra, because I don't need to be with my disease that wants to take me out because I have an ailment. We all have something, don't we? So I am grateful for God. I am grateful to be part of this meeting. I'm grateful for the four steps that I've learned.
Fine.
And yeah. Thank you, Mo. And I appreciate you all, and thank you. Bye-bye.
And thank you, Jamie M. from California. Next up is Ivy S., followed by Amelia H. Sorry, Ivy. Good morning.
Yes, Ivy, compulsive overeater and bulimic. Can you hear me okay?
I can, and let us know where you're calling from.
Oh, yes, from California. So this is a really good, I love this part, how it works in the columns. You know, I didn't do the fourth step this way until I came to Overeaters Anonymous and Vision for You this most recent time. But I feel like this was kind of a miracle in a sense, but it was part of this miracle I was having, this new experience I was having in Overeaters Anonymous where I felt true desperation. And just that willingness, you know, because I had seen, you know, like where the food had brought me to. And, you know, my sponsor, she said, okay, we're going to do this fourth step. You know, we're not going to spend a lot of time on it. So I kind of knew that that was going to come. But I thought, well, she'll give me a break because I work full time and I'm going to meetings every day and, you know, all of that. And she gave me 4 weeks, which was a little bit of a shocker. But, you know, looking back on it, what a blessing. So we started with that first column of the list of the people I'm resentful at. And what she had me do was so interesting. So I wrote down the person I was resentful towards. And then she said, if it, you know, you have a lot of resentments, write down their name and, you know, do the columns, write the lines for the column and then skip a page or two and then go to the next person. So that's kind of what I did first, were the columns. And then if it was like just a small resentment, I would leave like a half page and so on. So that was good. It got me my momentum going. And then I would go back and do the causes for each person I was resentful towards. But it was interesting because I'd never really looked at how it affected me. I never really got past who I was resentful for, at, and the cause. And I love these examples because, you know, it talks about, like, he's mad about his, you know, about that they are calling him out on his affair, you know. And that kind of, you know, is comforting because I had all these justified resentments. And, you know, like for me, they were so real and I couldn't get past that resentment. So it's like they don't have to be reasonable resentments. I just had to be honest about what these resentments really were. And for me, the big motivation was I didn't want to go back to hell. You know, I had been doing it my way and that way wasn't working. And just wanted to not return and keep the momentum going. So I'm really grateful, you know, and just to have done it feels like it was a miracle. So really grateful that we're on this step and grateful for this program where we do this fourth step in the column ways. So that's all I have. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you very much, Ivy S. from California. Amelia H., you're up next, followed by Babylonia A. Good morning, Amelia. Press star one, Amelia.
I hit pound one instead. Thank you. This is Amelia. I'm from New Hampshire. Gratefully recovered.
Where are you from, Amelia?
New Hampshire.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
All right.
When I started in OA back in August, I came in because I was terrified of what I was doing and where my body was. And I knew, because I knew enough about 12 step, that the fourth step would eventually come if I was committed to doing this. And it was amazing to me coming out of that space of terror, you know, working and then eventually, you know, processing through fears, that it really pushed me towards step four and a desire to do step four. And I think one of the most helpful things in this process was the writing down why I resented the causes for all of the people I listed, because I, quote, you know, had to be nice my whole life. I was never allowed to think bad thoughts or say bad things or all of that. But of course, doesn't mean I wasn't doing it. I absolutely was, at least to myself. But the minute I started writing them down, and I just, you know, bled all over the pages, everything that I'd been holding in for so long, it just, that column, getting to the end of that column, I suddenly began to feel much more calm and peaceful because I wasn't holding it in anymore. I wasn't pretending I wasn't feeling these things, that I was just trying to be nice to everybody. And it just that part began to really, truly set me free. And then moving in later on in that space of, you know, the question, was there fear involved? And my sponsor said, I want you to write check yes, whether or not you think there was check yes for every single one of them. And certainly thought it through. And she was absolutely right. I am realizing as an addict that I absolutely have had a tremendous amount of fear in my life and had no idea that I was so afraid of everyone and everything. And so this whole process between, you know, just giving to God and airing out all of the resentments and the, you know, detailed reasons, created a space for me to give them away because I finally knew what they were because I wasn't trying to ignore or deny them anymore. And I was giving them to God and just letting them go. And yes, there are still ones that I continue to pray on and work on, but for the most part, they just have left. And it is the most profound and miraculous gift. And that is what I will share this morning. Thank you all. I pass.
Well, and thank you, Amelia H. And next up, we have Babylonia A, followed by Jordan L.
Good morning,
Babylonia.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your service, Mo. What I've learned is that I am a resentment manufacturing building because it's not what happens to me. It's literally my way of thinking about it. And because I am an addict, I have a more self-centered way of thinking about things. So it's when there's any harm done to the self, it's the self reacts. So I've been resentful of my mom for a perceived injustice this week, and then yesterday it got really bad and my desire to eat and drink caffeine increased. And I kept wondering what was wrong with me? Why didn't I feel my usual joy? And I realized it was resentment that was blocking me from the sunlight of the spirit and I couldn't feel God. And I have heard it in program before, but I realized that whatever it is, I cannot afford any resentments in my life because it will bring me back to the food. So I have to pray for my mom as much as possible and change my thinking and be loving and tolerant, or else I will have no relationships with anyone because nobody is perfect, especially me. So I've decided to just be as encouraging to my mom as possible, to love her as much as possible, and come towards her with love, patience, and tolerance. Like Jesus taught, bless your enemies and love your neighbors. And I've realized that this program is all about putting us back into the positive with gratitude lists, 10 steps, getting rid of resentments, prayer and meditation in the morning, meetings that help us hear something positive that will change this attitude, talking to a sponsor. It's about getting a spiritual uplift every time we pick up the phone or talk to God. And I'm never going to be perfect with no flaws, but I really want to learn how to truly love someone, and that person obviously has to be me first, but I also want to learn how to love well and not my self-centered ways of loving others. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Babylonia A. And before I take Jordan L., let me remind everyone where we're at. We're on page 65, the first paragraph, and it begins with, on our grudge list we set, and we're going to read through the entire example of step four, ending at the bottom of the page with the words pride, personal sex relations, security, and fear. And the comments are on that paragraph and the example. And after Jordan, I will take more names. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Thanks for moderating for us. my name's Jordan Al. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. God. I, especially at the fourth step, I really try to remember what it was like to be a newcomer in this program. Because you look at this example here and it's like, you got to be kidding me, man. and it's funny because I've been practicing this for a little while now, and I got to tell you, this way of doing inventory, it truly does over time, practicing it over time. It actually works. Like, it actually creates a new pattern of thinking for me, a new way of like looking at the world. And the result of that is I'm not going to say that it's like happy-go-lucky, super positive, everything's wonderful all the time, because it's really not. But it's much more accepting. It's much more emotionally mature. I can handle stuff, you know, like I can meet calamity with serenity. Not all the time, you know, like I still mess up every once in a while, and I still make mistakes. I still do silly things sometimes. but this stuff really works. Like, it really creates a profound change in my life. When I stick with this and I practice it for, you know, we come in and it's first it's days and then it's months and then it's years. And next thing you know, it's like been a decade. and my life is on like a whole new playing field, so to speak, you know. but I want to say a reminder real quick here, right? We're like getting to this four step. We're going to start writing about how these resentments affect my daily life and my thinking. And at this point, we're convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. Any life, right? It's not just addicts that run on self-will. But the thing about us addicts is that we run on self-will and we go back to the food. So we have to figure out a different way to live. We have to find a different basis for life. And that's what we're doing here. We're like learning that, starting to practice that. and I'm very grateful at what a profound change it makes. So thank you, everyone, for sharing this morning. I'll pass.
Thank you, Jordan L. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you share it on Wednesday or Thursday, we ask that you wait until Monday. So anyone would like to share on this paragraph, page 65?
Cheryl S., Nevada.
Clelia A., or
S. Claudia
A.
A.
Orlando.
Florida. Okay, thank you. Who else?
Carol, excuse me, Carolyn N., Michigan.
Carolyn N. Michigan.
Debbie P. from Indiana.
Debbie P. Okay, let's
David
stop
C.
with that. Okay, I'll take you, David. We'll see if we have time for you.
Okay.
David C. Okay, we'll stop there. Cheryl S., Claudia A., Carolyn N., Debbie P., and David C. Cheryl S., please tell us your name, where you're from, or where you're from. You gave us your name.
Hi, this is Cheryl S. from Nevada, recovered compulsive overeater. And you know, this section, this example of the fourth step used to really perplex me. It seemed overwhelming, and it just didn't make sense. And you know, looking at this, like people have shared already, you know, some of this seems ridiculous. Of course, you know, if you had a mistress, if you're having an affair, you would think that you would know that, you know, that you had a problem and that it wasn't somebody else's fault. But that's not how we are. And it says here, you know, a grudge list about our injuries. And a grudge is a persistent feeling of ill will or resentment resulting from a past insult or injury. And an injury is something as simple as a damage to my feelings. And that's what we're all about in this program, is our feelings. And that's where, that's for me, I couldn't handle my feelings, my good feelings, my bad feelings. I didn't know what to do with them. They built up and I was completely overwhelmed. And I think I used to think too, when I would try and do a fourth step and now a tenth step, you know, I would realize that's silly, that's ridiculous. But it didn't matter. It still upset me. And that's what I needed to deal with. And here's an example that I just had. I had my sister-in-law over for dinner, and my husband called me from town, and he said, would you like me to get you something from the store? Do you need anything from the store? And I explained to him in what I thought was all this detail, because I struggle with control. I wanted a salad, one of those salads that you buy that's in a bag that has all the stuff that you need, and you just pour it in a bowl, and then you pour all the other stuff in there, and it's got dressing, and you mix it up, and you put it on the table, and then they would have their salad. Well, my husband came home with a bag of lettuce, and that was it. And I am telling you that I felt so injured. I was beside myself, and it was my selfishness. I didn't want to have to make a salad. And so just as simple as that, something, you know, and a normal person would say, wow, your husband was really nice and picked this up at the store for you so you didn't have to. But because I am an addict, you know, I go right to self, and I need this process. No matter how silly it is, I need this process when my feelings are damaged, so that I can get out of the damage to my feelings, which is my natural state, and into the solution. What is my part, and how do I get rid of this and go forward? Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
And thank you, Cheryl S. from Nevada. Now, up next is Claudia A., and followed by Carolyn N. Good morning, Claudia.
Hi, my name's Clelia. It's very hard.
How do you spell that?
C-L-E-L-I-A, Clelia.
Oh, sorry. Clelia.
No worries. No worries. So, my name is Clelia, and it's a very hard A from Florida, and I am a recovering compulsive overeater. I was resentful of everything and everyone, and my life was miserable. All I ever did was complain. People, like, avoided me, and I did not get it. My husband turned me off, and I lived a really hard life, and I was always in the food. And today, I have the gift of working the fourth step, and it's brought me so much freedom. I'm starting to love myself, and I have different eyes to see people. It's such a gift. And I avoided the process of step four forever because I thought if I didn't do it correctly, then I would not get the results of freedom. And all you have to do today, I realize, is be willing to do it. And when I do, I get to see the beauty of people, the beauty of myself, and I get to accept God's love and grace. And these 12 steps are the biggest gift in my life outside of God. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelia A. from Florida. Carolyn N., followed by Debbie P. Good morning, Carolyn.
Good morning, Carolyn N., compulsive eater from Michigan. And I was thinking the last couple of days, I've been in program 4 months, and I just finished up my 12-step and then living in the 10, 11, and 12 steps. And I was just thinking about the miracles that have happened in my life in the last 4 months. And one of them is because of step 4 and having gone through that step. I had been struggling with trust issues with my higher power. And going through the 4th step just really helped clean out some things that needed to go and help me to build more trust with my higher power. And so I just want to say that I'm really thankful for the 4th step and, of course, for this program. Thank you for your service. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Carolyn N. from Minnesota. Debbie P., followed by David C. Good morning.
I'm from Michigan.
Debbie?
Sorry, Carolyn N.
Oh, Michigan.
From Michigan.
I'm sorry.
Apologies. No worries.
Debbie P.
Good morning, everyone. Debbie P., recovered compulsive overeater from Indiana. Thank you for your service today, Mo, and I really appreciate everybody's shares today. What I wanted to say about this, this particular way of performing an inventory of myself has scared me for years. I was in another 12-step program since 1995, and anytime anyone would suggest that I do a 4th step this way, I would just balk and, no, I'm not going to do that. So I did mostly answering questions. And as a result, I obviously did not find out what my core character defects were and, you know, what things really motivated me. I mean, I knew I had anger. I knew I had resentment. I just didn't know, you know, that what drove me. And so last year, I'm about, 13 months abstinent now, yay, and recovered. And last year, I worked the steps this way, the big book way. And I feel like they were, I wasn't afraid of it. I just kind of did it. And I really wanted to be abstinent. I wanted to be recovered. And, you know, through patient sponsors, I did the work. It was a lot of work. It was sometimes painful. It was time consuming, but it's been the best decision I've made to work through the steps this way. And I got to the bottom, the core of my fears, which cause my resentments, which are usually because of the way that I think. I think things should be the way that I think they should be, and I want to control everything. So if it's not, then I start building resentments. And fortunately, today I don't have to build those resentments. I do have the 4th step I can always rely on. I can go to a 10th step and share that and get it out. And I don't have to repeat inside myself or to other people what's going on where, you know, I create those resentments. I can just put it down on paper, share it with someone else, and then call a newcomer. And you know, when I say it now, it seems simple, but it wasn't simple when I started out the process. I didn't think it was simple. And fortunately, I found a higher power who loves me, loves this program, and helps me through these processes to where I don't have to be fearful if I choose not to be. And if I choose to put my faith in my higher power, I will find answers. I will find sanity and serenity. And I'll pass with that. Thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Debbie P. And we do have time for you, David C. You're up.
Hi, this is David C., Washington State. And I've been coming to this since January the 10th, almost every day. This is the first time I've shared at the meeting. And I'm so thankful I start my day this way. David Compulsive Overeater, and I'm just, it starts my day, and I'm so thankful. Saying the fourth step for me and doing the fourth step for me was huge. My sponsor said it's going to be quick. So he said, just spend a couple hours. I spent a couple hours. And then afterwards, he says, you didn't really write that much. He says, what I want you to do is don't think about it and just write. And so once I did that, it just flowed out, and it was a blessing to be able to do that. And then afterwards, I've been able to do 10 steps, and I've been thankful for the 10 steps I've been able to do on a regular basis and just letting them go and making an outreach call afterwards and being able to listen and saying the third step prayer, seventh step prayer, the resentment step prayer. And that has been a true blessing in my life. And I really appreciate this meeting to start my day every morning. Thanks so much, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, David C. We have time for, let's see what time it is, about a 2-minute share if somebody would like to take it. We're on page 65, top of the page, and going through all the columns.
Carrie N.
Okay, Carrie, you've got it. Thank you, Carrie.
Hi, I'm Carrie N. I'm from Orange County, California. And this section, I never understood the bracketed word of fear for a long time, though I've been around the rooms for about 13 years. But that's one of the beauties of recovery, is being able to be in touch with how I feel and be aware of how I think. And it's also deeply disturbing to be able to feel my fear, and to yet how so many of my actions and thoughts are based on fear. So not to leave the meeting with the fear, but just to remember that recovery, the big book, and this meeting can take me to a place beyond that and a power greater than myself. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carrie Ann. And so we will now close. Everybody, thank you for your shares and all those who gave service today. We will now close with the reading from the big book on page 164. Followed by the Serenity Prayer, and I will now ask Veronica C. to please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, and it ends with keep you until then. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Mo, and for all who have given service today. Veronica C., compulsive overeater from New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you.